Red Eye is a program of alternative politics and culture which broadcasts live from 9 until noon every Saturday morning on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM and around the world at cooperadio.org. Here's Lorraine Chisholm.
Back in 1998, even industry giant Monsanto abandoned Terminator seed technology in the face of a huge public outcry. These suicide seeds would prevent farmers from replanting their own seed. Their introduction was seen as potentially devastating, especially in the third world. The public displeasure was so great that there's been a de facto international moratorium on the technology since that time. But last month in Bangkok, the Canadian government planned to do its bit for the transnational gene companies rather than farmers. Fortunately, the ETC group has been following the issue very closely and was there too. The Action Group on Erosion, Technology and Concentration conducts research and advocacy on issues related to the social and economic impact of new technologies. Hope Shande is Research Director of the ETC Group based in their North Carolina office. Good morning, Hope.
Good morning.
You were at the UN conference in Bangkok monitoring the Terminator technology issue. How did you hear about the Canadian government's position?
Well, fortunately, with just luck for us, we were leaked an official copy of the Canadian government's position on Terminator. And frankly, we were shocked when we read it because we really did not expect the Canadians to have such a bad, terrible position on Terminator technology. That we knew the issue was on the agenda, but only as a minor issue, and we didn't expect really to be ambushed by the Canadians in recommending for allowing Terminator seeds to be field tested and commercialized by governments around the world. And this is, you know, it was so shocking because up until that point there was a de facto moratorium, a weak one and a very fragile one in place, but it was very, very important because there had been so much controversy all over the world over this technology, which many consider the most immoral application of genetic engineering for agriculture.
Can you explain what position the Canadian government was taking there?
Well, what was on the agenda was a report that was quite critical. It was looking at the negative impacts of genetic seed sterilization on small farmers and indigenous peoples. And the Canadian government didn't like the report, which was very frustrating to us because the Canadian government had two members on the expert committee that prepared that report. I was also on that committee. And when we looked at all of the potential positive and negative impacts of Terminator, the potential negative impacts far outweighed any potential benefits for indigenous peoples and farmers. But the Canadian government wasn't happy with the report, and that's okay, but we didn't realize that they would go so far as to make this this recommendation allowing the field testing and commercialization. And I guess, you know, it is important to point out that the U.S. government is not a party to this convention, the Convention on Biological Diversity. So in many ways, I think not only was Canada doing the dirty work for the multinational seed industry, but also carrying out the wishes of the U.S. government. And it's important to point out that the U.S. government holds three patents on this technology, which it has licensed to a seed company that has vowed to develop this technology. It is not yet commercially available, of course, and this is what we're trying to prevent.
What did you do in response to the Canadian position?
Well, the really good part of the story is that we immediately drafted a news release, sent it out all over the world, and the response from Canadians back home was quite immediate and dramatic. We understand that some of the negotiators in Bangkok were getting thousands, literally thousands of email messages in protest, and I know that the ministers in Ottawa were also getting email letters of protest. And that was enough to not to completely change their position, but certainly to soften it. So they did not make that recommendation on the floor in the negotiations. They continued to have a bad position, but it was really taking place in a room where drafters were negotiating text. The fortunate thing is when we blew the whistle and it was known that there was this move afoot to to drastically weaken the de facto moratorium. Other governments were very strong in opposing the bad, damaging language. And thanks to interventions from countries like Sweden and Norway and the European Community, from Poland, from Cuba, from Peru, and from the Africa Group, the de facto moratorium remains in place. The thing that we're really very concerned about is that we know that this is going to come up again, and there are going to be more attempts to see this this technology commercialized. I think it might be really important for your listeners to understand kind of what it is that the, you know, why it is that the industry and the Canadian government, you know, how can they argue in favor of this technology? And one of the things that's important to understand is that the industry is arguing that Terminator seeds should be considered as a possible tool for biosafety. And we think that that argument is unacceptable. But the multinational seed industry is waging a very aggressive campaign to promote Terminator technology as a mechanism that would contain unwanted gene flow from genetically modified plants. And the way this goes is that they argued that genetically engineered sterility would act like a built-in safety feature for genetically modified plants, because if genes from the Terminator crop cross-pollinate with related plants nearby, the seed that's produced from the unwanted pollination would be sterile. It wouldn't germinate, so it would prevent the spread after one generation.
I guess that is probably the height of scientific arrogance.
Well, we happen to agree with that. You know, there's growing evidence all over the world that escape genes from GM plants are causing genetic contamination and pose very serious threats to agricultural biodiversity and the livelihoods of farmers. I know in Canada there's the organic farmers have a lawsuit because their fields have been contaminated by genetically modified plants. But you know, the real essence here is that the very companies whose genetically modified seeds are causing this unwanted contamination are now suggesting that society must accept a new and untested technology to contain their genetic pollution. And, you know, to us, food security for poor people must not be sacrificed to solve the industry's genetic pollution problem. If GM seeds aren't safe, they shouldn't be used, and if they're polluting, the cleanup cost should rest with the companies.
Yeah, I guess if you're saying that it's some sort of safety valve, then you're actually begging the question, well, why are we using them if we're not sure that they're safe in the first place?
Absolutely.
I guess that's if you accept at face value their argument that it is a safety valve and that it's not to provide economic advantage to them.
That's right, and it really is revisionist history and industry greenwashing for them to suggest that this is a technology that should be accepted as a biosafety tool. We know that this technology, when it was first developed, and still is being called a technology protection system, it was developed to maximize seed industry profits, to prevent farmers from being, you know, a biological tool to prevent them from saving and reusing harvested seed. And the interesting thing is that the seed industry already has the legal tool of patents, which also now in many countries are giving companies the legal right to prevent farmers from saving and reusing seed from their harvest. But that's been sort of a public relations disaster for companies like Monsanto. Of course, in the famous case of Monsanto versus Percy Schmeiser that went all the way to the Canadian Supreme Court. So, you know, this whole idea of patents is politically contentious, and they're very difficult to enforce, and it's not good public relations to sue your customers. And that's exactly why Terminator technology has become kind of like the holy grail of biotechnology. Hmm. If it was commercialized, it would be a biological tool to prevent farmers from saving seed, and we think it would be adopted everywhere as a mechanism to guarantee monopoly control for these companies.
So it does sound that the Canadian government went into this this conference with a certain intention, and that activists were able to at least soften the blow. Where does the Terminator issue now stand?
Well, it's going to come back up again in the context of the Convention on Biological Diversity. Next year, in March, there's a meeting of another subsidiary body that will look at, again, look at this report that was done by the expert group on the impacts on small farmers and indigenous peoples, and that intergovernmental group will then make recommendations to the big conference of the parties that's going to happen in May of 2006 in Brazil. And that's where we expect there's going to be a big fight that will come up. And fortunately, we know, and civil society organizations, indigenous peoples, farmers organizations can start to prepare for this. I think it would be great if any of your listeners who would like to take some personal action, if they want to write to the ministers of environment and the ministers of Ag Canada and demand that their position be changed, and that the position of the Canadian government is to prohibit field testing and commercial sale of Terminator seeds, not just in Canada but all over the world, because they will have an opportunity to take a position on this next year.
If this whole kind of program was rolled out and Terminator seeds were allowed to be commercialized, what would be the results of that for farmers?
Well, I think it's really important to point out that over 1.4 billion people in the developing world depend on farm-saved seeds as their primary seed source. And seed selection and community plant breeding are really the foundation for local food security, because communities that lose control over their seeds, that are adopted over centuries to their needs, really risk losing control of their farming systems and becoming dependent on outside sources of seeds. So, you know, the companies make the argument, well, we're not really trying to market our seeds to the poorest farmers, and of course that's true because the poor farmers can't afford to buy them. But there have been several studies that have been done by the Food and Agriculture Organization that show that even if these seeds are irrelevant to the needs of resource-poor farmers, that doesn't mean that poor farmers won't find Terminator seeds in their fields if they're commercialized. If imported grain contains Terminator genes and farmers unknowingly plant it as seed, it wouldn't germinate. And similarly, farmers who depend on humanitarian food aid would risk devastating crop loss if they unknowingly use food aid that contains Terminator genes as seed. So the risks are very real, and I think, seed is the first link in the food chain. Whoever controls the seed controls the world's food supply. And in a world where we're seeing growing concentration in the seed industry to the point now where the top 10 seed companies control over a third of the commercial seed market worldwide, these trends are very alarming, and that's why we think Terminator seed technology is extremely dangerous. It's an anti-farmer technology. It's dangerous for food security. And should never be allowed to be commercialized.
What do you think are the next steps then in the struggle to resist Terminator technology?
Well, we're talking with civil society and farmers organizations all over the world who are beginning campaigns to actively lobby their governments to help them understand that this is a real and present danger. I think a lot of people thought after the big controversy in 1998 when several multinational companies were forced to disavow the technology because of the avalanche of public opposition, a lot of people thought, oh, well, the crisis is over. We don't need to worry about this. And so I think the main thing is getting civil society, farmers organizations, indigenous peoples organizations talking to their governments, not just on the international level, of course, but introducing national-level regulatory programs to prohibit the introduction and field testing of Terminator technology to make it to prohibit this technology from ever coming to market.
So you mentioned that people should get involved by contacting their ministers. What other suggestions do you have for people who might be interested in getting more involved in this issue?
Well, specifically the ministers of Environment Canada and Ag Canada, because the delegation at the Convention on Biological Diversity is usually made up of representatives from those two ministries. I think people need to think more about where their seed comes from, and make sure that seeds that they're buying themselves. Of course, this technology has not yet been commercialized, but I think it's important to really think about their seed sources, and to even promote the idea at the provincial and local level of why not introduce legislation to prohibit the field testing or commercialization of Terminator seed technology.
Well, I hope it's been just great talking to you this morning, and a lot of really, I think, important information here.
It's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you very much.
Okay, take care. Good luck in your work. I've been speaking with Hope Shanda. Hope Shanda is Research Director of ETC Group based in their North Carolina office. For more information on this issue, you can check out their website at etcgroup.org.
You've been listening to Red Eye, a program produced by an alternative media collective in Vancouver, Canada. Red Eye broadcasts live every Saturday morning from 9 until noon and can be heard around the world at cooperadio.org.